You know what? Can I share with you a little joke before I get started? You may be seated. As much as I find it stressful to be up here, there's no other place I'd really rather be than in the house of the Lord with you people today. Sister Computer Lady, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting with verse 11 and also going to verse 12. And thank you, Brother Sapp, for that awesome intro. God bless him. I love Brother Sapp. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for letting me be here today, and I thank my pastor for letting me speak to y'all today. I greet the ministerial staff here at this church. I give honor where honor's due. This is an awesome church. This is my home church. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, sister, are we ready? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. I want to focus your attention today on verse number 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings. This I like to liken unto us today. We are part of the church. This church has been my nest for a long time. I grew up here. These two verses are talking about the nation of Israel and how God led them out of Egypt and was leading them to the promised land. I like to, again, stress that eagle part. The eagle is a bird of prey, powerful in its mastery of the air and its ability to fly at great heights. They are able to spot prey from those high positions and then swoop down at great speed and capture it. However, the point I wish to make today is about what it takes to get an eagle from an egg to that powerful bird of prey. It is a process. The first point I wish to make is that from an egg to the time that an eagle leaves a nest or fledgling is about 66 to 81 days, depending on where the nest is. This is far more time than it takes for a chicken to grow up or for a chicken to raise a clutch of eggs. From egg to independence, it's just a few weeks for a chicken, but not so for an eagle. For the first 30 days or so alone, an eaglet is totally dependent upon his parents for survival, not so for a chicken. A chicken, by 30 days, are well on their way to independence. From 30 days on, the mother eagle will stop perching on the nest itself and the eaglets start practicing tearing apart prey. During this time, they are also starting to practice flapping their wings in the nest, and this will increase steadily in intensity until the time when they finally leave the nest. When an eagle finally does leave the nest for its first flight, approximately 3 months after hatching, they usually end up taking just a short flight. And sometimes, during the flapping exercises in the nest, a gust of wind may simply just blow them right out of the nest and they find themselves airborne. The purpose of this analogy is not to bore you with a biology lesson about the life cycle of an eagle, but I want to draw your attention to the fact that it takes time to make a great bird of prey that has mastery of the air. When you look at the life of a Christian, we start out in the church not able to take care of ourselves. We hardly know all the books of the Bible. Just like the young eaglet, we grow up on a steady diet of the word and teaching and preaching. Preaching teaches us how to sense the wind. Preaching is preparing us for the day when we finally get to leave the nest. We are born with certain gifts, but when an eaglet is born, brother, he has no idea that he possesses talents or what his wings really can do for him. As a young eaglet looks funny flapping around in the nest, so do we look funny sometimes in the church. We look awkward in our actions, in our behavior, because we really haven't quite put it all together yet. But I guarantee you, with time, and if you keep at it, you will eventually fly. The Holy Ghost will encourage you and nurture you and urge you on and bring you along, because you are destined to soar the heights. However, the day comes when we become too big for the nest, and it's time for us to act on those things that we have been taught and have practiced on all this time. You see, when the time comes to leave the nest, the mother eagle begins to stir up the nest. And she may begin to dismantle it a bit, and she will stop bringing food to the nest. This is not meant to destroy the eaglet, but to bring it into a realization of who and what it really is. I pause to make this, to stress that point. Sometimes in our Christian walk, it seems like our very world is being tore up, and we're stressing out. We have no idea what's going on. But I assure you, God is not trying to destroy you, but he wants you to soar the heights with him. How else are you going to discover those talents and gifts that you have unless you leave the nest? Now, before I go on, this lesson is really for me today. As I was studying this lesson and thinking it through and writing it out, I thought, now, Lord, this is so much for me. So I'm really teaching to myself today, and I'm sharing it with you. Now, also, before I go on, I'm not trying to tell you that you ought to leave the church. No, you can't leave the church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, even so much as you see the day approaching. And also, I stressed earlier, you need preaching and teaching. That's teaching you or prepping you for when you do finally leave the nest. I'm talking about growing up or maturing as a Christian, not necessarily leaving the church altogether. Now, when we first step out in God, much like the eagle's first flight, it may seem awkward at first. And yes, we have been practicing in the nest, preparing for this time, but it doesn't make it any less scary. The first flight usually doesn't take us above the clouds, but it usually is usually just a quick spin around the block, if you please. Your first foray out of the safety of the nest could be to pray for someone's healing or a Bible study on a park bench. Whatever it is, you may not see them slain in the spirit, talking in tongues, and some big crowd gathers around. No, it may just be as simple as praying for a coworker who's having a really bad day and has a migraine headache. And you ask the person if they would like for you to pray for them. And they will almost always say sure, because anything at that point to stop the pain, right? And at that time, you will stretch forth your hand, and it may seem that nothing has happened, but I assure you something did. The next time you pass by, you may see that that person is no longer stressing or complaining that they have pain. The person was healed by the power of God. These encounters may seem little to you, but they build your faith. And to the one suffering from the migraine, it may seem everything in the world to them. Moses went from being a stuttering, self-denying man, doubting both God and himself, to a man that spoke with God face to face and was called the friend of God. Everything he did, God backed him up. When we read the Bible, a lot of time transpired from when he was born and sent floating down the Nile River to when he stood before Pharaoh with his rod and Aaron. He was 40 years old when he first fled Egypt after killing the Egyptian and burying him in the sand. Acts chapter 7, verses 22-28 tells a narrative of Moses, or a summary of Moses' life. After he fled Egypt, he was in the backside of the Midian Desert another 40 years, wandering as a herder and a nomad, where he had two sons. Here again, this was not meant to destroy him, but it was divinely appointed by God. Sometimes God seemingly delays things in our lives, but the whole time he is really preparing us for the next phase of our life. God leads him to what is called the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. This is the very same Mount Horeb in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, where Moses will smite the rock and the water will come forth that the people of Israel would drink. It is at Mount Horeb where he hears the voice of God. There in the desert, he is alone with God. And so it is with us. Everything in our lives is orchestrated and divinely appointed. Do not despise this time. Listen for the voice of God, and God will use this very same desert to bless both you and others down the road. Moses came upon a burning bush, and as he drew near to it, God identified himself to him and began to tell him what he has planned for him to do. Moses, after having a dialogue with God, after seeing the miraculous, turns around and tells God that he can't do it. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Sister, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And as Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God immediately assures Moses that he will go with him in verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God, upon this mountain. In chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 10, Moses continues to tell God that he is not up to the job. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Finally, Moses plays his last card, and he asks God to send somebody else. And we know we do this in our daily lives all the time. God will prompt us to do something, to pray for somebody, or act in some way, in some manner, and we'll say, God, you really want me to do that? We'll doubt ourselves. We do it every time. We doubt God's ability to work through us or our ability to be used of God. Even after seeing the miraculous, after being in the house of God, if you've been in this church any amount of time, you have seen some miraculous things. You've seen some amazing things. You've seen prophecy go forth. You've seen people healed. You've seen people delivered from all kinds of diseases and drugs. You've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet still sometimes in the back of your mind, when you get that little nudge in the Holy Ghost, you hesitate. Why? It's in our human nature to do so. The Holy Ghost will prompt us into action, and we immediately begin to give him reasons why we cannot, even after seeing God do the miraculous. But it's not about us, it's about his power and what he wants to do through us and by us to touch this world. Moses tried to give God all kinds of reasons why he couldn't do the job. He, Moses, like the eagle, did not know who or what he was. It may seem that God has taken his time in your life, but if you would just hang in there and don't give up on God, you're going to see God come through for you in an amazing and powerful way. You have yet to realize who you really are. God addresses each of Moses' concerns and promises him that he will help him. God promised Moses that he will be with him. He gives him divine authority. He is empowered, and he is promised human cooperation. When we first step out in God, it may not be all that pretty. You may crash land and look awkward, but none of these things changes God's opinion of you. You are still chosen by God. You are still an eagle. This year, I went to Touch the Future in Bellevue, and I somehow came in contact with a little man, a young man about the age of my oldest son. And we somehow struck up a dialogue, and he asked me, he said, are you a preacher? And his question kind of caught me off guard, and I stepped back and I said, well, I guess so. And he said to me, well, my dad's a great preacher. And I smiled, I said, that's nice. He says, you can be too. All you got to do is just practice. And that made me smile. And I said, you know, you are absolutely right. God was talking to me through that little man. He says, all you have to do is practice. You don't really realize who you are. But if you just stick with it, stick with me, don't be afraid. You know, fear is a powerful thing if you let it, brother. It'll make you fold in on yourself, and it'll cripple you, it'll slow you down, it'll make you not realize what God really wants to do for you and through you and in you. But if you would just conquer that fear, put it aside. You're gonna feel fear. It's natural, it's part of you, it's part of your emotions. But you can't let it conquer you. You can't let it dictate your life, because then you'll never do anything. You'll be paralyzed and you won't have any effect. So that little man spoke to me and got me to thinking. And I began to review myself and look at myself, and I said, now God, I know that you are calling me, and I know that you're dealing with me. And I'm so glad I told him that, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. Obviously, I'm standing up here before you, so you know I said yes. But it took a lot to get to this point. It took a whole lot to get to this point. But I know there is nothing that God cannot do. Yet I was doubtful that God would ever want to use somebody like me. To tell you the truth, I was terrified, like I said, of the idea. However, the fact of the matter is God does not want to use me. However, the fact of the matter is that God does want to use me. And this is why he called me. Like Moses, I gave him all kinds of excuses, but that didn't hold much water. God will never ask you to do something that he will not equip you to do. He is going to make sure that you are properly suited for the job. He is going to give you the resources you need and point you in the direction that you are to go. All you have to do is be obedient and follow and say, yes, Lord, I will do it. I have yet to fully realize who I am in God, and so do you. And so do you. Now, as I was at work this week, I was taking a break. I was stepping, going out to clear the cobwebs from my head, and I was walking on campus. I was walking around the pond. We have a little pond there on campus, and I came upon a drama. I was with another coworker, and I saw, of all things, believe it or not, a hawk stuck. It seemed like it was stuck in the fence. And I said, now this looks odd, and there were squirrels all around this hawk. Now, anybody knows that a hawk is meant to eat squirrels, and not vice versa, not the other way around, but these squirrels, Brother Powell, were laughing at this hawk. They were sitting there, about three of them, looking at this hawk and just laughing at him and mocking him. And the hawk was sitting there at the fence looking at them and trying to play cool, looking around, you know. They always look majestic. They always look normal. But, I mean, majestic. Anyway, the hawk, I came to find out, or quickly came to the realization that the hawk, in going after the squirrels, had missed. It was a young hawk. Was a young bird of prey, and he was being heckled by the squirrels. Apparently, like I said, he had missed. But as we stood there and watched, the thought came to my mind that the hawk had not learned the art of hunting. He was equipped with talons and wings and the sharp eyesight, but he had difficulty using those gifts. In time, he will learn how to use those gifts, and the squirrels will no longer mock him, but we'll run from him. Once we learn who we are in God and what God wants to do in us and through us, the devil will no longer mock us and tease us, but will run from us. He will run from you because you're going to realize who you are in God. Now, Moses, if he had not accepted there in the desert of Midian, what would have happened in his life? Was not Moses the one that was present at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus? If he would have held back and not have gone out and acted upon what God was telling him to do or asking him to do, would he have been at that Mount of Transfiguration? Abraham, in order to receive the promised son, you have to come out of Ur of the Chaldees. And Moses, before you can deliver the people out of the land of Egypt, you have to first leave the backside of the Midian desert. And Peter, before you can experience the miracle of walking on water, you have to first step out of the boat. God is not stirring up your nest to harm you or destroy you. He is bringing you out so that you can soar the heights with him and see what he wants to do through you in this world. As you know, my family and I are being called to the missions field. And I'm so thankful. So thankful. Because I want to see God do things in this world. I want to see people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that don't speak my language. I want to see people baptized in Jesus' name and come to revelation of the oneness of God, and to know him, and what he wants to do for them and through them, and how he wants to bless them, how he wants to save them. He wants to save their family. But how will they know unless somebody goes? Then you have to be called, and you have to answer that call. You may not be called to go around the world, but you could be called to talk to your neighbor. You may be called to talk to a coworker. You may be called to talk to a friend. Either way, I encourage you, and I ask you, don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you back. Step out there, because he's going to back you up. God will back you up. You are called of God. You have the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. He's going to back you up, because his heartbeat is for souls. His heartbeat is for people. Only God can fully appreciate eternity and what it means to be confined in hell for eternity or live with him forever in eternity. Are you going to help somebody go to heaven for eternity? Are you going to help somebody bypass the flames of hell for eternity? That's what you're placed here to do. Not to flap around in a nest, although it's comfortable, although it's home, you are called to reach somebody else. You are called to impact somebody else's life. You are called to make a difference in somebody else's life. Will you go? Will you answer the call today? Will you step out there in faith today and do what God is calling you to do? I encourage you today, find somebody, touch somebody, pray for somebody, teach somebody a Bible study, help somebody any way you can, because what's at stake is eternity. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell, do you? I don't want to see anybody perish. These ministries we have here in this church, they are God-given and God-ordained to help people come to know God, to come into greater knowledge of God, to be blessed by God, to be saved. Our missionaries, our missions department helps missionaries. I think we support almost every missionary around the world, it seems, Brother Merritt. And that's a good thing. God will bless that. God will honor that. That's what we're called to do. We may not be able to go, but we can help them financially. It takes money to run these things. Bible quizzing, Sunday school, prison ministry. There's all kind of things that you can do and get involved to help people to impact this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Because remember, like he told Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to back you up. All you got to do is step out and act. And that's all I have to share with you today. I pray that I made you, provoked you to thought. And I know the Lord has been dealing with me about stepping out. And like I said earlier, we're going to be aimers to the country of Spain. We're going to start pursuing that full time to go to Spain. I pray that you pray for us. And that I covered your prayers more than anything else. That God will direct us and lead us. And that we'd walk through the right doors. The doors that he opens. Not what man opens, but the doors that he opens. I so desperately want to walk through the door that God opens, because then you're going to be on the right path. You want to be on the right path. You want to be on the right path. You got to be on the right path. You got to be connected with God. It's early today. I wasn't so long-winded today, so you have time for refreshments. You have time to pray. You have time to do whatever the Lord lays on your heart to do. We're going to start service here, main service here at 11 o'clock. So be blessed in Jesus' name.